Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I was asked not so long ago why we don't preach fire and brimstone, sin and damnation much anymore. So I hope you were all listening to the gospel that I just read, since today we have the devil, sin, a furnace of fire, weeping, and gnashing of teeth. Our gospel parable today is from Matthew, and Matthew is filled with what are called the judgment texts. These are texts that talk about the judgment at the end of time, when we will be called into account for the way that we have lived our lives. You likely know some of these texts that talk about judgment. The wicked tenants who killed the slaves and the heir to the vineyard. The wedding banquet with those who were invited but didn't come. And the separation of the sheep and the goats. When I think of judgment, I think of the roadside signs that are so prominent in the rural South. You've seen them. Heaven is depicted with clouds and hell with flames. Or you may have listened to the late night preachers on the local channels. They can be terrifying as they try to scare people into believing in God. Judgment can be scary. There is a sense of dualism, since a judgment, by definition, must declare you guilty or innocent, right or wrong. You're going to heaven or hell, you're a sheep or a goat, wheat or weed, saint or sinner, do everything right, heaven, screw up, hell, simple. Right? No, not really. Judgment, especially for us Lutherans, is a little more complicated and actually a whole lot better. Judgment is our final movement to God, our final reconciliation. It's the final healing of our relationship. And this healing is filled with forgiveness and with grace. And our final reconciliation with God is one of great joy. For the kingdom of God has come, and we are together with God forever. But the reconciliation also has a painful part. There's a part that forces us to see the weeds that are within ourselves and to face and acknowledge the places where we too have sown weeds. So today we have a parable to face. And it's a parable of judgment, but it is also of grace. This parable is about the wheat, the good in the world around us and in us, and the weeds, the bad in the world and in us. And we're again faced with that age-old question, where does all the bad and evil in the world come from? And what do we do with it? The disciples, as we do today, struggled with these questions. So Jesus teaches them through a parable. The slaves in the parable ask the landowner where the weeds come from. And there's a question in the slave's voice about whether the seed sown was actually good seed, or whether the landowner had made a mistake and actually sowed the weeds too. But the landowner did not waver on his response. He said he did not make a mistake. Weeds exist among the wheat because they have been placed there by the devil. And we know that real life is full of weeds. We personally, we the church, we the world, despite our best intentions, are full of weeds. Remember the Apostle Paul's words from last week? I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. We have weeds of our own doing, and we also just have weeds. Failure, cancer, despair, job loss, broken families and marriages, business practices that beg us to look the other way, addictions, disappointments, false prophets, traitors, naysayers. That's the reality of life and of the church. There are weeds in the wheat. But here's the important part. God did not plant the weeds. It is neither God's design nor desire for there to be weeds. Remember this the next time someone tells you that whatever weed is growing in your life is God's will. It's not. God didn't sow the weeds. An enemy has done this. The enemy is the devil, and the sowing is intentional. God didn't sow the weeds, but God sees the weeds. God cares about the weeds. God sits with us in the weeds, and God is more powerful than the weeds. The weeds are temporary. God is eternal. And in the end, the weeds will be destroyed in the furnace, as the text says today, with weeping and gnashing of teeth. So what do we do with the weeds? The landowner is very clear. We are not to be the judge of the wheat and the weeds. I can't help but think about the saints who came before us. Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times at such critical points. If asked to judge Peter at the wrong time, we likely would have plucked him right on out. Paul, also likely to have been yanked up as a noxious weed while he was persecuting the Christians. Or Martin Luther, who was excommunicated and persecuted by the church. What if we had weeded these guys out? And aren't I, when I am being honest with myself, both weed and wheat? Or as Luther says, both saint and sinner? Yet we as humans continue to be preoccupied in drawing lines between the weeds and the wheat, making judgments about who is in and who is out of the church, about who is right and about who is wrong. Just like the servants in the parable, we wonder why God doesn't want us to yank out all of the weeds now. Instead, we're called to do the opposite. We're called to let the wheat and the weeds continue growing together. Dr. Theodore Wardlaw claims that we need a kind of restraint on our weed pulling. Restraint that makes room for what he calls holy and purposeful ambiguity. Ambiguity that is both wise and intentional. An ambiguity that frees us from judging so that we can find the space to truly love and live with each other. To have the faith and trust that the wheat will continue to be plentiful and to prevail. To wait for the angels to do the reaping. And to wait patiently in hope for the final coming of the kingdom and the fires of God's justice. But let's be really clear that this is not a call to ignore the truly evil that is around us. We are not called to throw up our hands and leave it all to God. We are called to continue growing the kingdom of God, which means to fight for justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. When Jeremiah was called to be a prophet, he was called to pluck up and to pull down, to build and to plant. And we are called to do the same. We don't know the final day of judgment, and there is tension in our waiting. In our Romans text today, the early church expected that Jesus would return and the kingdom would come soon, like any day now, this week, next week, maybe next month. They were waiting for creation to be freed from bondage. And Paul compared the waiting to the groaning of labor pains. We too are waiting for something that cannot yet be seen. And we wait some days surrounded and overwhelmed by the weeds, our goodness at times choked out by others and by ourselves. But we also labor for the wheat in us and around us to live out the kingdom of God. We nourish our tender roots and the roots of others. We take care of the good growth within each of us. And we are called to patiently hope. I think that it's hope that the judgment signs along the highways are missing. For the fire of judgment is also purifying and cleansing. And in that fire, there is hope. Hope and promise that when the kingdom comes, the weeds of this world, all causes of sin, and all evildoers will be burned by God's judgment in the furnace. And hope that the weeds inside of us will be burned out, leaving us to shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father.